Welcome back to the Mom Mentality Show. I'm Austin Chadwick, and this is Chris Lucian. And we're continuing on our Organizational Excellence series, and today we are doing Storming, Forming, Norming. So do you mind moving that one over, Chris?
Yeah, sounds good. There it is.
Yeah. And while you're moving that over, do you mind kicking us off on what this is?
Yeah, so this is, I did a little bit of research before this. This is based off of Tuckman's Stages of Group Development. And it's, storming, forming, norming, and performing are a series to describe, a series of words to be memorable that describe what happens typically to a team when they are newly formed, right? And it holds a lot of similarities to the Set Your Change model, which we talked about in another episode. And I've seen this actually happen over and over again. And when people are aware that it's happening, the storming period doesn't feel so bad. And in fact, we get interns every year. And so it's interesting because we've been able to repetitively run experiments with new interns forming new teams every year and try and get better at it. And so it is something that's kind of like a muscle, even for an organization, right? Is to say, okay, let's be conscious of new teams forming. And the Set Your Change model would sort of dictate that new teams form when any change is really happening within the team. And then trying to get through that cycle as fast as possible. So, and each of the stages, if you break it down, so the storming phase is right where a new team is formed. Right, everybody's just getting used to each other, and I think it's forming, storming, norming, and then performing. So they form, and then everybody has to get past that icebreaker stage. And then the storming happens because everybody's getting used to each other in some way. At least this is what it means to us, right? Like, it's not deeply based in the research or anything. But and then gradually working our way out of that, we then get into the norming phase where things can kind of level off. And then the performing is when the team's gotten used to each other. They can make decisions together. They understand each other a little bit more. So that's a little bit about the background of what it means to me. And I think both of us have stories about situations that we've been in and ways to accelerate those. And so do you have anything that...
Well, the first thing I wanted to note was we sounded very nefarious there, where we're like, oh, we have interns and we experiment on them every summer, So... So when we have interns, we've seen this happen a lot, or when people change teams in general, or just any change to a team, this kind of thing can occur.
Absolutely.
And I think what you said at the beginning kind of helps me a little bit, is it's more of something to be mindful of, so you're not surprised, right? It's not like, oh, we have a new team, let's start storming, let's start fighting, right? Yeah. it's more like, you have people coming in from different backgrounds, different experiences, different knowledge levels.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of software, it's different definitions of done. Like, some people might come in and be like, any code I touch, I want automated tests. It's got to be clean. It's got to be properly linted. It's got to have a pipeline. And someone might come in and just be like, Wild Wild West, I wing the code, and there it goes, And so you're going to see that play out.
No matter who you're with.
Yeah, exactly. And so just to expect it, I think, is a very helpful thing, to be like, oh, I'm joining a new team. We're going to be coming at this from different perspectives, and to expect the conflict.
And that's the thing. This was proposed in 1965. People use this a lot in software development, but it's not. It's any team. So you might even form a new project team where you have some software developers and some other people. Usually anybody involved, if you have five different people in the room, then there's probably five different motivations, and based on those motivations and their reward structure, KPIs, whatever, you're going to have a resulting conflict, and that conflict results from the lack of knowledge of each other's perspectives. And so what I find to be really important for getting through the storming phase is a tight feedback loop.
Yeah, so I definitely agree that having a tight feedback loop can really help move past the storming phase much more quickly. And so from my own experience, I joined a team, a mob, and I realized pretty quickly that we had a different definition of done in our head for any card we were working on. And I think, you know, it'll depend on the personality types in the mob, but the storming or the conflict might just start happening. Or if you have more quieter people, you almost need some prompting to bring it to light. You know what I mean? And so that's, without getting too heavy into retrospectives, that's a future card. That was a great tool where I could just, you know, we could have retrospective, we talk about what's going well, what's not going well, and I could voice these things and we could talk about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we'd share different opinions on what it means to be done. And there were just so many retrospectives where so many things came to light where we were making assumptions about each other that turned out to be wrong.
Yeah.
And we grew to understand why someone is doing a certain behavior. And through that mob retrospecting and multiple mobs on the same product team retrospecting, we came up with the collective definition of done that took away a lot of the storming that either was, you know, visible or internal.
Any ambiguity can lead to an exaggerated expression of the storming phase.
Because
You know, anytime people are taking different interpretations, it could be extremely risky. And so a big piece of that is just get through that as fast as possible without leaving people behind, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a key concept there. Yeah, even, you know, and at some point, like, the team won't be performing until they're truly psychologically safe. And that's another card coming later. But the main idea there is that a team can't really perform until they can actually give each other unfettered feedback. You know, don't self-monitor, but be kind, considerate, and respectful to people and give that feedback. And you need avenues for people to get used to each other, begin to trust each other, and be vulnerable to each other. Because then at that point, when a high frequency feedback loop is occurring between team members, there will ultimately, that's when the true levels of efficiency for a team come to light.
Yeah.
And anybody coming in and out of the team will disrupt that actually as well. But, you know, there's also risk with keeping the team the same for a really long time as well. And so there's also this kind of thought that I have around chaos engineering for teams. But that's for maybe a later episode too.
Yeah. Well, to kind of touch on it a little bit, because I think it's relevant, is it a muscle you want to develop? Like, almost like, oh, I should be switching teams often to get good at the skill of storming in a healthy way and then forming and norming and that kind of, and those kind of things. Or is it more like, oh, we should, you know, once we get past the storming phase and we're gelling more, we should try to lock the team in, and so you don't have to go through it multiple times. So.
Yeah. So in my opinion, I think the main thing is that you have a significant risk in more or less keeping the same team the same all the time. And a big piece of that is that it is something where people are going to move on to new jobs, you're going to hire new people, new projects might come into the pipe, right? And so if you're not good at it when it counts, right, then you will pay the price for it there. But you can pay that price up front when it counts less and when there are people around to. So say you lose a new team member abruptly, or you lose a key team member abruptly from a mob, that's very different than just saying, like, hey, they're going to move to another team, but they're still available for questions, right?
Yeah.
And so, and that will also help the new team kind of get used to storming, forming, norming. So when you hire on a new person to fill a role, you get them into the team. Well, if the team has not had much experience with storming, forming, norming, a very productive team could become very unproductive very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, but if they're used to that transition on a regular basis, then again, it's chaos engineering, right? So, like, why does Netflix bring down random servers at random times with Chaos Monkey? Well, it's to show that their systems are resilient. And so chances are you've been watching a show on Netflix, and many of the servers that were hosting the show for you went down and you didn't even know. And so that's the type of resilience that you might say is a lofty goal for a team who, you know, given the current job market, will inevitably face turnover of some kind. Or you might be in a really successful environment and you might be building all kinds of new things and getting new projects on, and people's interest will go into these other more interesting things, or more interesting to them, right? And so the key there is that getting good at storming, forming, and norming, and performing will, getting good at the stages will lead to a more resilient system overall, right? It's why you practice doing anything disruptive like chaos engineering.
I see. So companies like the book Joy Inc., where they would switch their pairing partner every week or so, or whatever the frequency was, is kind of an exercise in that, right?
Yes.
Get good at switching your pairing partner and your team.
Yep.
And from my own experience, I can resonate with that, where it is scary at first, especially if it's a new environment, to learn how to, you know, storm well and norm well. But once you do it more and more, it's almost like, oh, I know how to handle this. You know what I mean? And, you know, every team and person will be different and present different challenges, but you at least have the tools and the habits to be able to handle it better.
And that gives me another idea for another episode, because I'm fairly passionate about public speaking, and I think public speaking has a very similar aspect to it, right? It's very scary in the beginning, but then as you develop it, you build it as a muscle.
Yeah.
And then it's almost trivial in many cases after a while, right?
Yeah.
But everybody started from the same place of being afraid of it, right? It's not, there's very few people that go out there and say, I'm good at public speaking day one, right?
It might be, so I've heard the statistic, so reliable statistic for you, from memory, not without a source, I heard on the radio that people consciously fear public speaking more than they consciously fear death.
Yeah.
And maybe switching teams is somewhere in that boat, right? Because you get comfortable, you know, it works, you know, you don't want to switch, you know, and...
Yeah. It's one of those things that you have to force yourself to do, otherwise it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Right? And then, I guess before we close, is there a Chaos Monkey job opening that I can apply for?
Monkey. Yeah, I mean, so there's, there are definitely chaos engineer roles now that exist.
Really?
Yeah. And so, I just went to a conference at QCon in New York, and I spoke there, but one of the vendors there was Gremlin, which was trying to essentially sell a version of the open source Netflix tools or the ideas that Netflix had kind of made popular. And so there's like a free suite from Netflix, but now these companies are actually coming in and producing paid suites for chaos engineering. And so my opinion about that is that you probably, you know, if you're at the point of daily releases and zero bugs from production, right? Or zero bugs currently in production and daily releases, then chaos engineering is the next logical step, right? You basically, what's the next level up of resilience for your team? Well, it would be, can a random server go down? Or you escalate to Chaos Gorilla. Can a random availability zone go down? Mm. And so that's what Netflix does. They'll bring down Amazon US East and just say, hey, that doesn't exist anymore. What are you going to do, developers? And then the developers have to design resilient systems for whole availability zones to go down.
Interesting.
And so that's a profession today.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's not like a team version that creates chaos amongst teams?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we need, but I think that that's recently been my role of asking people to actually switch teams on a required basis. But yeah, absolutely.
I'll call you that in public.
The chaos monkey. Yeah. I like it. It's a good name.
All right, anything else before we close?
I think that was a good episode.
All right. Well, like and subscribe on YouTube, and I've interacted with us on Twitter. It's been fun interacting with a lot of you guys out there.
Yep.
And otherwise, have a good one.
Yep, absolutely.